Comedy Film Nerds, episode 463, ready to rock and roll.
And it's the correct number out of the gate this time.
Out of the gate.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I double-checked it.
Didn't use the old app.
I didn't use the old app that just hangs and you get the circle for a while. Mm-hmm. So we have a guest on that we haven't had on in a while.
It has been a while.
You're on episode 463. Should I have not have spoken so soon before you introduced me?
All right. Everybody sees your name when they download it. Nobody cares. It's not radio.
Guest privilege. It's fine.
Sorry about that.
You can either talk in right away or wait.
I didn't mean to interrupt your intro.
Or you can just disregard decades of show business decorum and just jump in, just like an animal.
Should I speak from back here? Is this a good distance?
You think you could chew gum or something while you're talking about Michael?
I like to eat on the microphone.
It's like, I just bought this bag of popcorn. Would you like that?
Mike's going to be making daiquiris while we're...
So, now, you just got back from the road, Graham.
Yes, I did, Mike.
I'm Mike Siegel, by the way.
Mike Siegel, ladies and gentlemen. Longtime friend.
I screwed up my own intro there. Sorry
of the Travel Tales podcast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My friend that I've known as a stand-up comic from Chicago a million years ago.
I enjoy your new digs here.
Thank you.
And I was at the old one.
Definitely an upgrade.
I was at Chris's lovely house before. Mm-hmm. Not even in the house. In the garage.
Yeah, in the garage.
We
can't
let you in the main house, Mike.
Yeah.
There's a reason. First, you introduce yourself. You know what I mean?
I know.
Yeah.
I walk right into his fridge. Hey, what do you got here? Hey, what do you got?
Walking around in boxer shorts. Yep. Mike, we're going to need you to leave.
Yeah. Tell us about your podcast, the Travel...
The Travel Tales podcast. Travel Tales. We've been going for about 5-6 years now, and... Mm-hmm. Look. See, he's coughing. See? Very professional.
Away from Mike.
Yeah. we just talked to various people that around the world that I've either meet on my travels or I've known a lot of travel bloggers and writers and people like that. And what'd he say?
All right, hold on. Before you finish that, he just said it's tea karma. So I just need to clarify a couple goddamn things here. I went to the Japanese market near my home, and I bought Japanese green tea, which is really hard to find in the States. So the Japanese, they make amazing green tea, and they put it in a can, and it's a tin can, all right? Now, America, the good people at Lipton will take green tea, fill it full of sugar and bullshit, right? And then they'll make a diet green tea, which has got other kinds of bullshit.
Yes, chemicals.
Splenda
and whatever, sucralose, nonsense. You know what's on the ingredients in this? Green tea.
Yeah.
That's how you make diet green tea. You just make green tea, and then you don't add a bunch of nonsense to it. Mm-hmm. So I saw this, and I bought one. I literally flew in this morning. I got up at 4 a.m., flew in from Austin, Texas, was doing shows with Ron Placone. Thank you, by the way, to all the people that came out to the wonderful Progressive Comedy Tour shows in Texas. I'm drinking this, and I go, I got this. I love it. And Chris goes, boy, thanks for not bringing me one. So as I'm coughing, Aaron then says, that's tea karma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like it. Tea karma.
You were literally drinking with it, showing it off, and posing with it. You were.
Well, I think... Chris is just mad that there's not a Japanese market in the valley.
Yeah.
That's what this is about.
It is. That's part of it, sure.
There's also, to be fair, there's 10 years of the Mancini family trying types of food, not liking them, and giving it to me.
Yes, that is true.
Because I will eat anything. I'm a silly goat, as long as it's vegetarian.
Meatless
treats.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
What have you given him over the years?
So, meatless treats.
Okay. I mean, chips, more
chips, any weird flavored, like, say a Japanese tea flavored orange, things like that. Yeah, just weird like
sodas
candies. Yeah.
That don't work. And he's like, how do you like these? And I'll drink them. Oh, this is awful. And I'll finish the can.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sparkling grapefruit soda that's just or watermelon.
You oh, no, it was the cucumber one.
The cucumber one was horrible. Yeah. But I finished it.
Terrible.
Yeah. I don't waste.
Good for you. You don't waste.
No.
Yeah, yeah. This is terrible. Let me finish all 16 ounces to make sure. So.
That is one of my favorite things to do when I travel and when I go to a new country is I go into the local convenience store and I get the craziest flavored chip.
Oh, I do that too. It's got like an alligator
seaweed one.
On.
Yeah. The prawn flavored ones. Yes. Whatever. Yeah.
To be fair, I think we all have a little bit of... foodie vibe to us. Sometimes when it's a weird exotic flavor, sometimes your opinion can change halfway through. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, this tastes great to begin with, but halfway through, I'm like, no, this is awful.
Yeah, it stays on the palate the wrong way.
Yeah, this is awful. And so, then
Chris gives me his garbage food that his family can't digest. But I'm an animal for not bringing one can of green tea that he could probably get at his Trader Joe's.
Tea Karma.
No, I've checked. That's not a Trader Joe's. Okay. That's a specialized brand.
All right. Well, then suck it.
Yeah.
By the way, you guys see Tea Karma at Coachella this weekend? Yeah.
They were amazing.
Tea Karma.
By the way, the can is cute and tiny enough to be gorgeous. Able to fit an extra one.
I could have stacked two inside my Batman lunchbox very easily.
You could have put, easily. You could have put two in your pocket.
It is an outside. Was it 9 ounces it says?
Yeah, the Japanese don't need 48 goddamn ounces of shit. Mm-hmm. You just need a little bit of green tea, right? And I'm not even going to finish this. I'm going to pour it out in front of Chris. Yeah. I'm going to pour it down the drain and say, wow, I bet you this tastes good.
Yeah. You're going to add sugar to it first,
I'm going to add sugar to it.
Yeah, American style. Won't go through the drain if there's not sugar.
No.
The drain will spit it back.
Put some opioids in it, and then it'll be great.
Oh, it might clean the water in Flint, Michigan.
It's got electrolytes.
All right, so episode 463. We're a third of the way to 1389.
Yeah. Let's talk about some movies. We're going to be talking about Shazam, Hellboy, Unicorn Store, and Starship Troopers: Traitor of Mars. Which is a fascinating screening movie that I stumbled across.
Is a screening movie.
It's you know, instead of straight to video anymore, now we have the straight to streaming.
Streaming. Okay. Yeah, I thought you said screening.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute.
Streaming. I meant streaming. But I want to start off by reopening Shazam because I saw it over the weekend with the family. Yeah. And, you know, we may or may not do a spoiler ep depending on schedules. We got a lot going on because we got to do Neil's Patreon bonus episode today as well. So we will do a Shazam spoiler at some point. It may not just be this week, maybe next week.
And I have a case of green tea cans that I'm going to give to the homeless. Yeah.
That's just making me thirstier. Now, that's so weird.
And it's so good.
It's weird. I want tea, I'm thirstier, and I don't want caffeine. So it's like perfect, green tea.
There's caffeine in green tea.
Yeah, but not as much as black.
You're right.
Yeah. Don't spin it. So.
But you can't say no green tea.
Yeah, yeah.
This episode is dedicated to all our fans in Japan, by the way.
So.
Sandy, big fan, Japan. Yep. Konnichiwa.
Yep. You don't have to get it in a can. No. You can actually make it, and they have it everywhere. And it's so good
in
Japan. So anyway, I saw Shazam, and I'm watching this movie. First of all, I loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
Oh, awesome.
I really love this movie. And the trailer, again, does not do it justice at all. It doesn't show what the movie is. The trailer actually shows it kind of as a... you know, a kid's movie that nothing happens in, and basically it's just jokes about being a superhero. That's what the trailer shows you. It's not that at all. That's part of it, but it is actually, it's an origin story. It's a superhero movie. It's funny. It has monsters in it. It has a villain, and it has an actual story. And also, I even thought Zachary Levi ended up doing a good job as far as casting.
I thought he did a great job.
So, and I was thinking about it. I'm watching this movie, and I realized why I liked it so much, and I realized why it works so much. The reason is... DC finally figured it out and made their first Marvel movie.
That's really
what happened.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Because everything is exactly like it would be in a Marvel movie. The tone, the characters, the action, the beats, and everything that kind of hits that PG-13 but doesn't go too far. And it keeps everything moving, too. And it also has the lessons about... family and relationships and all those things. And it's exactly what they did. They made their first Marvel
movie. That's a great point. You make a great point, because the thing we always talk about Marvel is they create each character and each movie is its own world that lives within the Marvel universe.
Right.
And the problem that DC has always had in the past, with the exception of the Nolan Batmans and the Wonder Woman, is they go all over the place.
Right.
They try to do too much stuff. And you're right, Shazam kept it authentic to that world.
This is the Shazam universe. Granted, we know Batman and Wonder Woman and Superman are here, but, you know, chances are we're not going to see them that much.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great. And how did your kids like it?
They loved it. Everyone, the kids loved it, wife loved it. We all really enjoyed it. And one of the reasons was, like I said, it was like it hit that perfect, like, you know, sweet spot of, like, with it, all the Marvel movies hit. And it made me think about the marketing. It was a really interesting choice of like how they marketed this movie. It was really kind of stupid. So because I really felt like they were trying to get just kids in the theater, and then these trailers were turning you know, everyone else off because, like, well, this just looks stupid. This isn't, you know. Instead of highlighting the humor along with the characters and the world and the action, which the Marvel trailers do.
Yeah, and there was way more adult. The movie itself had way more adult themes.
Absolutely.
That weren't out of the reach of kids.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. No, yeah. It was so well crafted and put together. You know, we'll have to, when we talk to David again, the director is like, he must have been rolling his eyes at the trailers. He had to have been. Like, because, yeah, you know, the directors have very little control over, yep, that. Some directors do when you get to a certain national, but most of them don't. And the movies go to these trailer editors and these trailer houses before they're even complete. So chances are there's like effects shots that weren't done. So it's like very little footage, yeah, they have to cut it together.
I haven't seen it. So, I mean, from the marketing campaign, known as is it Levy or Levi? I don't
know. Zachary Levi.
Levy, sure. Yeah, either one.
Chris just,
yeah,
said it both
Levy
ways.
Yeah, yeah, Levy. I don't even know. Yeah,
yeah, Levy, Levi.
Levi, yeah. Aaron?
No idea. Nobody knows. But I know him from, he's from the comedy world, like a sitcom world.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So my first thought when I saw the ads and that he was the star, it gave me like a Deadpool kind of vibe, like, mm-hmm, smart alecky kind of thing. Was there humor in it? And was it a lot of humor or is it...
Yeah, but not
a lot
over,
of snark.
There was, but it wasn't too much. It,
right,
was, it was the right balance. And you know,
the other thing I noticed about the humor was that a lot of times when you cut trailers, when you see the movies, the humor is very dependent upon context and pacing and the editing. It's so important for a comedy. And it's rare that this happens, but like sometimes you have a really shitty comedy and the trailer editor has to work overtime to fix the pacing and the timing and to get the jokes to at least pop in the trailer when they fall flat in the movie. The opposite was going on here. Like all the context and the editing of the jokes worked in the film, but they were drained of lifelessness in the trailer. So like I laughed, like I knew when a joke was coming that was in the trailer, but it made so much more sense and was so much more funnier in the context of the film. It worked so much better.
We also, you never know how many like studio notes the trailer editors are getting.
Right.
Not that, mm-hmm, they're doing a bad job, but someone's in there going, it needs to be cut this way to look, right, like this. And they go, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like they're just a marketing department.
Yep, pretty much. Yeah. And so I really liked it. The other thing, this isn't a spoiler, at the very beginning of the film, I really liked that the beginning of the film starts off where you think this is going to be how Shazam is, you know, created. That's his origin story. But actually starts, it does a red herring, and it's actually how the villain gets started, which it was really a cool kind of twist. But then, again, that's right in the beginning, so that's not a spoiler. But there are some spoilers I do want to get into for sure. When we do the ep, but I'll say I really liked it. It was one of those pleasant surprises where I was just kind of like, am I going to like this or not? I don't know. Is the trailer really the movie? And I ended up just loving the film. It was fantastic. I thought it's like, this is like, I felt like this is where the course correction of DC movies really needs to be, in which is ironic that they're just kind of copying the formula from Marvel now. Now, I know Suicide Squad is going to look exactly like that movie. I know it is because, yeah, it's, first of all, it's James Gunn, and you know, now, because Shazam's doing very well, I'm like, well, all right, don't fuck with it now. You know, they all have to look like this. They all have to be like this.
Well, when that's the question we asked when Wonder Woman came out. They did such a good job with it. We're like, is this the turning point? Is DC going to finally wake up,
right,
and give these? They have great characters. They have great comic,
yeah,
book characters.
Uh-huh.
Give them the movies they deserve.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Aquaman got halfway there. It was like this, you know, VFX overload. And, you know, it was good character because Aquaman's an interesting character if you actually unpack him. Not the best, but still there's a lot there. But ultimately that movie was still just empty. You know, right, there was just nothing there. Whereas this one kind of filled that void and checked all the boxes much better.
Do you think the lowest point for DC was Batman versus Superman?
Yes.
That was, well,
because I checked out after that. I wanted to walk out. Almost of that,
you know,
one. That
I don't know, bad. Mike. I mean, that bottom of the barrel was pretty big. You know,
yeah. Well, yeah, Suicide's at the bottom of that barrel. Yeah, Suicide Squad's down of that barrel.
You had
I didn't hate that as much as
you had two horrible Superman movies.
Yeah,
and then you also had Batman versus Superman, and then you had Suicide Squad. And I'm thinking, was there? It feels like there were more horrible movies in there, but those might be the bottom.
I always hated Superman as a character, just because there's nowhere to go with him. He's a really boring character, usually.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'll tell you, he's one of those characters that's difficult to write. It's
he's
like,
perfect.
Well,
that's boring. You know, yeah. I mean, all the other, like, Batman has a really dark side.
Right, right.
You know, and that's interesting.
Well,
and he's a normal guy.
I mean,
Superman's invincible. A rock can kill him.
Yeah.
One rock, then that's it. Well, there's nowhere to go there.
What gets interesting is when that gets explored. Like, there was an animated movie. Oh, I can't remember the name of it. Where
Annie.
Superman was, okay. You know, he was, like, the pinnacle of, you know, like exactly what you're saying, like what can you have? All right, the pinnacle of justice, he never hurts any, you know, kills anybody and all that stuff, but then a new group of superheroes come on and like they idolize him, but then they realize, well, he's not getting the job done, so they're actually much darker and meaner and they kill people, and then he has to fight them, and then it starts to start this quandary and this moral dilemma of like, well, yeah, you're this moral paragon, but you're not getting the job done. Everything's still shitty.
Right.
And then, but, you know, we're killing people. We're getting stuff done. Like, who's right? So it starts to get into, like, that moral ambiguity is where Superman is best written. But you don't see that much. It certainly wasn't in Zack Snyder's Superman at all.
No.
You know, the whole point of Superman is that he's more human than human, better than us. He's what we're supposed to strive for. But then, you know, where's the conflict from there? It's like, well, is he right or wrong? Should we be looking at him? And God, Zack Snyder got it profoundly incorrect. I think Superman, if there's any superhero that needs a reboot, it's Superman and Batman for sure, that I hope that they do next.
All right. Mike, you saw Hellboy.
Oh,
speaking of superhero movies.
I did my homework before I came here.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you so much.
And the best part about it, it was a matinee, paid $7.98.
Oh, nice. Saving a little bit of money.
That was the only good thing. I did see about, 1,000 trailers beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed...
Got your money's worth.
I believe half of them had Dave Bautista. Wow, that guy's getting work.
Yeah, he is.
And those movies do not look good, although the one with Kumail Nanjiani, where I think it's called, the Uber driver? Stuber.
Oh. Yeah, that's
Kumail's
not the one.
Kumail's an Uber driver, and Bautista is the cop who comes in and brings him on his adventures.
So did that, you also
it looked like it maybe had some laughs in it. The other one where he plays like a big brother spy to some little
girl. The little kid. Yeah, we saw that trailer last week.
Ooh,
yeah.
Boy.
It was awful.
It's just one of those things, like, all those trailers, you just, oh, this is a movie I've seen dozens of times.
Dozens.
With Burt Reynolds, with Schwarzenegger, with Bruce Willis, anybody, we're going to take a kid on our adventure.
He's gruff as nails, but
she's going to teach him something about life.
Rock, Vin Diesel. We were talking about that last week. It's like, is that what happens when an action star gets, you know, famous? Now they shove him into a kid's movie.
Yeah.
Even Jackie Chan did one.
It's not a tumor.
Yeah. So Hellboy, and I will say this, I'm a big fan of Hellboy. I love the series. I liked the first two Guillermo del Toro movies. I was looking forward to seeing this movie until the chatter started coming out from the interwebs, which I take sometimes with a grain of salt. But when it becomes an overwhelming tide, you know there might be something to it.
Well, my history of it is I didn't see the first one.
Okay.
I saw the second one, which was Golden Army.
Mm-hmm.
When I was hosting my movie show on TBS, the TBS Movie Extra, we went and did the junket. So it wasn't, all the CGI wasn't finished by the time I saw it.
Right.
Because they were having the junket and they were still finishing it up.
Mm-hmm.
So I went into an office in, I don't know, I think it was a Universal lot or whoever made it. And I had to sit in like a meeting room watching on a TV cut of it. But, you know, it's just like computer blobs, and I had to imagine what the monster looked like. It was just really weird. I didn't hate that movie. I didn't see the first one, but I wasn't really familiar with the story, and I liked Ron Perlman.
Mm-hmm.
And but yeah, I mean, didn't really hit me either way. So I went into this one pretty blind.
Right.
And I did go to Rotten Tomatoes last night, and I knew. I wasn't expecting much.
Right.
But I was like, okay, I'm going to go with it. But it was just, I don't know, it was all over the place. I do appreciate something, like, I didn't know the history, like the book, or the any of that.
Well, from the trailer, like, every scene seemed to be pulled from a different run of the comics. Like, you know, like, you're like, oh, well, that's that storyline, that's that arc, that's that arc. How are you going to fit all of that into an hour and a half? Oh, you're not. You're just going to basically show us highlights of the last 10 years of comics.
Right. I don't know how much I can give away on the air in terms of...
No spoiler, ending spoilers, but you can talk vaguely about some
stuff. No, but there's just... I like when the fact that, okay, it's the third movie. I hate when they always have to do the origin.
Right.
Right.
And I thought maybe, you know, we're just getting into it. And it's still, if you're not familiar with it, there's this guy who's obviously an odd-looking man walking around normal people. And people are just kind of accepting him. They were like walking by him. And it's just like, nobody knows the big red dude with the sawed-off. Okay. I'm in. Oh, whatever. Okay, fine. Maybe he's already famous and everybody just knows, oh, that's Hellboy. People are, you know, he's like, it opens up with him and like fighting in a Mexican, in a Tijuana wrestling match. And people are cheering against him like he's...
I missed that one. That's actually another run.
Oh,
that's,
really?
Wow, that's hilarious. There's no way you could put all these in.
And there is a little
story.
Flashback thing with Ian McShane plays his dad.
Right.
And they go back how they found him. And then and there's a Nazi element. And then the time frame gets weird. It was like, how old is his dad? And when does this take place? And then, and then there's a King Arthur element to it.
Yep.
And then witches. And it just,
what?
And Excalibur's involved.
Yeah.
I was just like, well, okay, what?
It makes a lot more sense if you don't put, like I said, 10 years of comics into an hour. So, like, you know, like, because there is the Nazi storyline, the origins. There's, you know, there's the King Arthur storyline, which is way later, but you keep them separate. It might make a little more sense.
Right. And then there was a character play who plays this, it takes all in London and in England.
Okay.
The whole movie. And there's a guy who plays the MI9.
Oh, hilarious.
And he's a Chinese guy. And I remember every time I see a lead Chinese character, and he's English, but he's Asian English, not Asian Brit.
This guy from Lost,
I think of
Daniel.
You when you tell me that's like, that's how you get distribution in China.
It's Daniel Dae Kim, right?
Is it?
From Lost, I thought it was.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, and he's Korean.
Yeah.
Korean, okay.
But
is that enough to get you distribution in China?
No, you have to have Chinese, people of Chinese in there, and you have to shoot it, some of it in China. So if you do that, you will get distribution.
Because
that's my understanding.
Because your leads don't have to be Chinese.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right.
No. I mean, he was great, but...
And he turned into a jaguar, right?
Yeah. Is that an 11th comic book? Is
it... Again, a completely separate storyline, yes. Is this,
Does that character have a name? Like...
The Major Panther? Daimo, or I can't
Daimo, yeah, Daimo,
yeah, but I don't remember. I don't think that.
But the Panther doesn't have.
I don't think the Panther has a name. No,
he needs a name.
But yeah, again, so far we've just referenced about 4 or 5 different storyline runs.
Yeah.
At this point.
Well, the movie had a $50 million budget, and as of April 14th, according to IMDb, it brought in $12 million. So
a little behind.
I think the chatter
didn't
really
help.
Didn't I think it kept a lot of people from going to see this?
Yeah, and it's not like. I mean, they do try to inject humor, and it just, but it's a really kind of forced one-liners after it just seems really, I mean, I think Ron Perlman pulled that off a lot better than this guy, and I love this guy
David
on
Harbour.
Stranger Things, but it's hard to act with all that crap on your face, and just, somehow Ron Perlman had some, he pulled it off, I think, a little better.
But well, also, David Harbour can't, I mean... I'm not, like, if he's inheriting or he's working on a script that has all these confusing things in there.
Right,
like,
he probably has no idea how he's supposed to.
Yeah, I don't blame him. You know what I mean? It's just, the script's all over the place. It really is.
And that's really, that boils down to the script, the directing, everything. Like, if you guys don't know what you're doing, guess what? The actors, grips, and set people are not going to know either. So everyone's just kind of winging it. Because even from the trailers, I'm like, oh, this acting is all over the place. I'm getting that from a couple seconds of footage.
Yeah. And somehow with like any kind of supernatural kind of thing, was it Mila
Jovovich?
It just seems perfect. Of course that's her. You know, of course.
Is Resident Evil not shooting right now?
Exactly.
Okay, give her help.
It seems like right up her alley. Like this is the person that it's going to be. But yeah, it just...
Oh, and by that, her character, the Blood Queen, yet another arc of the comics.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So what are we at? 5?
There's giants.
5 or 6?
All of a sudden, they're killing giants, and there's...
7? Okay, that's another... Again, okay. Another one.
All right. It's good.
The
there's
Wild
monsters,
Hunt.
Yeah, there's giants that apparently, every so often, there's this club.
Then they go to Willy Wonka's chocolate factory.
Like the Osiris Club has to go kill giants. And
was Rasputin in it?
Yes.
8? Okay.
All right. Did you just thumb through each issue. Take that character.
Yeah, take a page from each run, and then we'll make a movie.
Wow, I had no idea. Oh, you love it. Now you got to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all over the map.
I think, Chris, you need to go see it and then just tweet in real time each time a new storyline comes on the screen. So we can get a hard count. Yeah,
exactly how many.
Minute 29:46, here comes the fifth storyline or whatever.
And at 2 hours, a little much. Yeah. There's a lot of Hellboy to go around. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
Yeah, anything with Rasputin, I'm out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Nazis and it had this... I don't know. They raise Hellboy from the deep and mm-hmm. Rasputin's there. And that was the origin story.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And Ian McShane's there to find his kid.
Professor Broom.
And then, it's just all this father-son thing. And he's just asking for the love of his dad. And just, really? Hellboy needs human love from his dad. We all do. Yeah. It's universal, man.
I'm so glad you went and took this bullet for this show.
It saved me, actually, because then I would have been, I don't know. I would have been a little more disappointed than you because I would have been looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think you would have been furious.
Yeah, I think so. I probably would have been.
Well, I hate both of you for suggesting that.
Good. Thank you, Mike. All right. We always like sucker punching.
You know what that is? Tea karma. That's what that is.
Now, speaking of low expectations, now, Graham, you saw the movie Unicorn Store.
I did see this. So this is Brie Larson. She directed this. She was obviously offered to direct this after she won the Oscar for Room.
I love this, that Hollywood still does this. It's amazing. You wouldn't do this in any other profession. Like, wow, you are a great heart surgeon. Could you do a root canal for me? That'd be great. You're a doctor. What's the difference?
Can you run a hospital?
Yeah. It's an actor, director. What's the difference?
Did she write it as well?
Yeah.
No, apparently she didn't. So see, she auditioned for this, the role of Kit, back in 2012 when Miguel Arteta was attached to direct. And so this movie, I actually liked it.
You did?
I did like it. It was a fine little...
It seemed like quirk overload when I saw the trailer.
It is pretty quirk overload. It's very much like, these themes of, when you grow up, you're society tells you to lose your childhood innocence and joy and fun, like she just loves unicorns as a kid and and believed in them. And then, she's in art school and they make fun of her. And then her parents are like, you got to get... And it's really good. So Bradley Whitford and Joan Cusack play her parents. And they're fantastic. Mm-hmm. They play really well-rounded, well-meaning parents that love their daughter and want her to do well, but then are over-meddling because they're parents, And they're like, but honey, why don't you do this? So there's a lot of funny, cute moments. And then, she also has to kind of come to grips with the fact, and Brie Larson's a really good actress, this was the perfect directorial debut because this is a character, obviously, she resonated with, is why she auditioned for it in 2012. It probably meant a lot to her. And when they're like, hey, we'll let you direct, she goes, this? I want to do a Unicorn Store. So I think, and Samuel Jackson's in it. I don't know, there's some cool little... quirky, fun themes to it.
So it's better than expected.
Totally better than expected. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, this is a fun little movie. And it is sort of like, and she has to confront, she's a little like, meh, 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 in the beginning. Mm-hmm. But that makes sense because she kind of has to like go, wow.
Now, do you think she could direct other things? Or do you think this is just something because she was so kind of close to the material and wanted to do it? This was like a kind of a one hit kind of thing.
I don't know. That's a really good question. Because
was there anything in the directing when you went, oh, there's some unique vision and voice in here that I would really like to see more of this directing?
Well, it's a low budget independent movie that was direct, exclusive for Netflix.
Right.
And so it's all character driven. And the casting of the supporting were all, that was all done well, which is a big job of the director. This guy that helps her build her unicorn store, he was really well cast and well directed, and he's a young actor. I've never heard of him before. Bradley Whitford and Joan Cusack felt very real and three dimensional. They weren't just like stereotypical meddling parents, like it's time to get a real job stuff. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't doubt it. She's pretty talented. Obviously, this is directing herself and something she really loves, but. She's winning Oscars. She's working with A-list people. She's doing big Marvel movies. I don't know. I think she could.
She's at the top right now.
She's at the top. Yeah. I think she could be a really good director. I'd love to see her do something else that isn't just quirky, quirky girl stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like that thing we said with Ben Affleck. We're like, okay, we know he knows how to direct Boston because he's from right. Boston. And mm-hmm. then he did Argo. And it was like, yeah. Well. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I liked it. It's quirky. It's fun. If you're just looking mm-hmm. for something to kind of, you know.
Take the edge off.
Yeah.
It'd also be interesting to know, like, you know, in terms of men and women and how they're treated and, you know, directors. You know, what women directors often say in this business is they don't get second chances like the
right.
men do.
Right.
Like if this died, would she ever get another chance? Or is she going to get anything outside of romantic comedy?
Right.
Like a guy can do they'll give him a superhero movie.
Right.
Right.
Off a small little independent film for women. I haven't seen that happen.
That's a good point. And maybe then this is
it'd be interesting to see what they offer.
They should.
Yeah.
Because you're right. I've seen so many male directors who, you know, oh, that was a cool. And then they're all of a sudden.
Yeah, you get the next James Bond movie. It's like, what? Yeah. He had one little low budget movie that was kind of cool. And then now he gets some massive thing in this next one.
You jump to the head of the class.
Yeah, you go from a
director went there.
Yeah.
He's like, he directed a movie on his laptop. Or like an editor, right. literally edited a movie like Monsters, I think it was.
Yeah,
a movie
that cost laptop, like $500,000.
Yeah, no, like a couple thousand, like even less. Wow. Like, and he said, like, yeah, I was just traveling and I would shoot the shots and then I would do it on my laptop, you know, add the monsters in, and because there weren't that many in the movie. And they gave him Godzilla afterwards.
Yeah. That's a great example.
Yeah.
So then by that, she absolutely should be given a shot.
Right.
Because this movie, she did a fine job.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like something like 10 years ago. I only saw the trailer, but it would be like, if this was 10 years ago, it would be Zoe Deschanel.
Yeah.
Right.
And all this. Now, it seems so quirky. You know, a unicorn.
There is still something about this system where it's like, yeah, you won an Academy Award for acting, but you know, there's a lot of directors making independent films that could have used that opportunity too. Like, you know, it's a weird thing where, you know, is this something you wanted? Is it something you're passionate about? Or is it something maybe you could champion another director that's making independent films that you could actually
Well, that's
bring,
a good agent. You know, you got to hold them over the barrel. And yeah. I'll do your movie on this. You know, I'll sign up a three-picture deal. I get to direct
now
one.
Now, I'm not saying it never happens. Like, if there's an actor that's really passionate about directing that actually can knock it out of the park, too. There are some people that can do all those things. But, you know, what I don't like about the system is that, like, because she got this Academy Award, that's how she got the directing opportunity. Like, I would like to see more of, like, you know, she's done these independent films. She's always wanted to direct. She's done all this
that
other
stuff.
That
might be true, though. We don't know that.
That's possible.
She must have always, she must have really been wanting to do this
I think
for
this
a while.
Is a passion project she really wanted to do because it felt very personal to me. Mm-hmm. It felt like she's probably had some of this in her. Like, maybe before she broke, her parents were like, enough with the acting. It's time to get a job at the thing. You know, like, I wouldn't be surprised if she heard some of that herself because it felt very personal to me.
Mm-hmm.
Even though she didn't write this, but and I feel like, you know, she is such a good actress that she can... She's already proven in Room and she's proven in, you know, Captain Marvel that she isn't just going to be in she's not just only do rom-coms.
You know, and that's the smartest thing you can do is take control of your own career. I mean, look at, you know, you look at Jennifer Aniston who like did this string of just over and over rom-coms. And but then you look at Jodie Foster who started producing, doing her own production company. It's like, no, I'm going to do the movies I want to do. And so you really have to control it. And it's not easy because Hollywood pigeonholes you. Like, oh, well, you did this, then you need to keep doing this. I'm like, no, I want to do other things.
But also the studio system. I mean, it makes sense to me. She's an A-lister right now.
Yes.
Oscar winner and now big Marvel property. So
it's a marketing hook.
Right.
They can sell it.
It helps. Mm-hmm. It helps sell it to Netflix. And you're going to click on Brie Larson.
Especially if you say, oh, Samuel Jackson's in it too. Of course, I'm gonna check this out.
That was the most interesting casting of the. That was the one guy I was surprised to see in it.
Well, they
I don't know if they're friends or did they act in something else together. Or?
Well, Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. And so, and Netflix. All Netflix does is crunch data.
Yes.
So they know that when a big Marvel movie comes out, everyone is searching for that big star on their platform. Mm-hmm. So they went, let's have a Brie Larson movie ready to go when Captain Marvel comes out.
And they probably shot this in like a two, three week window. Or something.
Oh, so quick. Yeah,
there's three locations.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so they bang this out.
Now, let me ask you this about just the specific directing. Like, I've noticed, too, when actors do make that jump to directing, they focus the most on is the performances. Like did the camera kind of linger a lot of times on performances, and that's what we were looking at a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really did good. There was really good.
That happened with Boy Erased too. Like, and that was became the strongest part of the film.
Because because you shot it in 3 weeks and there's three or four locations and there's not action scenes or anything like that. It's all character driven. So it's really well directed, real personal little moments and close ups and funny scenes that are poignant and heartfelt. You know, it really captured that well.
Graham, you've turned me around. I'm going to go see this on Netflix now. You've convinced me. All right. Now, I will convince you not to see this next movie, although I don't think it would take that much effort. Starship Troopers, Traitor of Mars. This showed up on a streaming service. And I've always been a fan of the first Starship Troopers movie. Paul Verhoeven, the amazing thing he did with satire and commentary on everything from Nazism to violence to a militaristic state. He put all those things in a giant science fiction movie fighting bugs. And, you know, and there's a lot of those underpinnings in the original book as well. So, you know, it's interesting how also every single sequel after that has completely lost or forgotten anything that this movie's supposed to be about. And this movie is no exception. And if I asked you how many Starship Troopers movies there were, you would guess and then you would be wrong. So
I was going to say one, but that was...
No, it's a ridiculous amount. There's live action ones, there's animated ones, there was even a TV show. And like this franchise has gone all over the place and it's awful. Every single one. There was a sequel that, like, you know, they were trapped and like the bugs were getting inside you, and then this one girl had bugs inside her, then she would make out with another guy and then that would transfer the bug and then they would become like bug sleeper agents. It like literally made no sense. This is an animated movie that looks like basically a video game cutscene from the 90s, the entire thing. And it's ridiculous. Every word of dialogue is nonsensical. And the only thing I could think of is like, you know, well, this is clearly a rough draft. There wasn't enough time to do anything, rewrite. But then I realized, too, these movies are not cheap to make. Even if it's animated, there's still hundreds of thousands of dollars being spent here. Maybe put a little more care into what you're doing. It was an absolute mess from start to finish, and I wasn't expecting much. Granted, an animated, you know, version of Starship Troopers that was made years after the original, but this one even was like, all right, well, it was no Polar, but still, it was pretty bad.
If you'd have told me when I saw the original of this, because like on TBS on the show, we would, you know, I would start to play the same movies over 9 years. You start to see, and there were certain movies that were just in our rotation that we'd play maybe more than once a year that would keep, and this was one of them, the original Starship Troopers. And it just kept getting ratings, and I never got it. You know, I never really got it. I mean, it wasn't tongue-in-cheek enough to be fun. I almost thought, you know, it's like a little more, and it could have been really funny, like really fun, but I couldn't tell if it was trying to be serious or there were actual laugh-out-loud moments in some of the things, like, and I don't think it was intentional. You know, just like, boy, they could have really gone the other way.
It was like the hyper-violence and the propaganda and the satire. It was all there in the first one, and then every sequential one after that, like, they didn't get it at all, especially this one.
Did it ever make money in the theaters, or would
the first one? Absolutely, yeah.
Was it a big hit, or I just thought it maybe came later on cable? And
I don't know if it was a huge hit, but the first one is probably still making money. You know, it made money and it probably shows up every once in a while somewhere, you know, on streaming. But these, there's no purpose or reason for any of these, anything to come after it.
All right, great. So watch Unicorn Store,
exactly. So we have a sponsor today, Graham.
Oh, yeah.
A new sponsor, Postmates. And
do they deliver green tea?
They. I'm going to check right now, as a matter of fact. And
only from Japan.
Yeah.
And only to my house.
So now I tried Postmates. All you got to do is you download the app, and then you sign up and register, and it's really, really cool. You pretty much have most of the restaurants around you. You could get food delivered to you, and I tried it, like, because it doesn't necessarily have to be like dinner. Like, we tried it for just like, oh, well, you know, the kids really kind of want ice cream. We did just an ice cream parlor, just delivered like a couple of pints of ice cream. We just stuck in the freezer. It was really good, and it's easy. The people come really quick, and you know, depending on how far away the restaurant is, but it's really good. And there's a lot of places that, like, I don't feel like going to picking it up, like, because very few places actually deliver. Like, it's pizza and Chinese food, that's it. But, you know, if there's other restaurants around that you could get, use Postmates for, it's fantastic. So one of the things I want to mention to you guys is that it's a personal food delivery, grocery delivery, wherever you can deliver services all year round. No more trips to the store. You don't even have to know where the store is. Postmates will deliver it to you. Download the app on iOS or Android for free. It's 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and anything you're craving, Postmates can deliver. And for a limited time, Postmates are giving our listeners $100 off free delivery credit for your first 7 days. That's $100 off for
your credit. That's a lot of food.
That is. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use the code CFN. That's code CFN for $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Get anything you need, anytime you need it. Download Postmates and save with the code CFN.
All right.
All right. And we got some Patreon.
Oh, too, right? Folks, go to patreon.com/comedyfilmnerds.
What do they get for that, Graham?
You know, for $50 a month, Chris, we're just going to read your business, your non-for-profit, or whatever you're doing. You got a book you're doing? You got a podcast you want to promote? You got a new comedy album? Guess what? We're going to talk about it.
You got green tea you want to push?
You got green tea? Graham Elwood's green tea.
You make
tea.
It in your basement?
Yeah.
Yeah, like Graham Elwood's some green... kind of weird green tea moonshine
yeah,
drink you have.
Yeah, like a green tea meth lab.
Like a still?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Mash?
Yeah, like a green tea still.
So from Will Leonard, his wife Katie Bagwell is once again riding the MS-150, a fundraising ride that's helping fuel progress toward a world free of MS. Ride from Houston to Austin at the end of April. The money will be used to fund amazing programs. Check out her donation page at willthetd.com/CFN. willthetd.com/CFN.
I want to say, Will, so they live in Houston, mm-hmm. and I was just there doing shows with Ron Placone for the Progressive Comedy Tour. He had to run, so he dropped off this shirt, but I held up last year's shirt from 2018, and it's on my Instagram page. If you go to @GrahamElwood, you can see shirt. Will dropped it off at the show. Will, thank you so much. I'm sorry you guys couldn't come to the show, but I appreciate the shirt and support this.
Well, Katie's a conservative.
Katie's a conservative, yeah. Yeah, they're probably just like, you progressive asshole.
Yeah, just take the shirt and shut up.
I don't want to listen to his left-wing nonsense.
Yeah. Can I just get a shirt without listening about healthcare for about 45 minutes?
No. Full disclosure, made that up. Don't know if Katie's a conservative or not. So Johnny Ruline is promoting his novel titled Green Cheek, A Junkie's Guide to Street Magic. It's on Amazon in both digital and hard copy. It's an experimental stream of consciousness novel, which follows the exploits of the muse Calliope and our mortal love RTS on a journey through time, dreams, and the hidden places of a supernatural America. HappyHorrorShowProductions.com. HappyHorrorShowProductions.com.
Can I read one of these?
Yeah.
This is fun.
Mm-hmm.
Because you guys Patreon subscribers. Fanboy Planet is a website and podcast for all things geeky.
Wait, hold on.
Amazing.
Can you not read like such a jagoff?
Oh, sorry. I was giving my announcer voice.
No, I'm just being an asshole.
Check out Fanboy Planet for your comics news, your movie news, TV news, and amazing interviews with industry insiders and artists. That's FanboyPlanet.com.
From Chris Barker, Howard, Coffee Over Suicide is a dramedy podcast about mental illness and choosing life over death, one cup of coffee at a time. New episodes every Friday wherever podcasts are found. Find out more at CoffeeOverSuicide.com.
I'm glad you did a character with the suicide one.
Mike, I don't know what character you're talking about. When I get serious, when I talk about suicide, this is the voice I like to play with.
So, Alice Frazier, co-host of the Bugle podcast and Tea with Alice, brings you a series of three genre-bending solo stand-up shows that explore the boundary between comedy and tragedy. They're recorded back-to-back as a three-hour show at the Melbourne Comedy Festival with a binaural microphone, which creates an immersive listening experience. Check out alicefrazier.com, alicefrazier.com.
She just emailed me. She wants to say, we're going to do a tea with Alice over Skype. So it'll be another time I'm drinking nice tea that you can't have.
Fantastic. Perfect.
What's a binaural My binaural microphone.
What it does is it records it like you're actually at the venue. So when you wear headphones, you actually hear like people laughing behind you and to the side.
Okay. It's like a mic that, like a surround, like it has a bunch of different microphones like you would do with a VR.
Okay, yeah, yeah. And I learned so much here at the Comedy.
Mike, I don't want you to leave here dumb.
Rebecca Evans, the art podcast. We move past hesitation. We're true to ourselves. We find our own art in life. New episode with comic, author, and musician Greg Barron is available now. Thearttpodcasts.com with an S.
I'm a Greg Barron fan.
Yeah, Greg.
Ready for some trailers, Graham?
Oh, I think there's a new Star Wars trailer.
The Rise of Skywalker.
Boom, shalakalak, boom, Chris Mancini.
Coming out this summer or later Christmas?
Christmas time, yeah. That's the, you know, the Disney can't compete with their own movies. That would be crazy.
No, that would be nuts.
They have... They need to release one every couple months, and that's a giant movie. That's it.
Now, is this supposed to be the end of this next trilogy?
This is episode 9. So.
Okay.
Let's, you know, who knows.
And after this, they said they're taking a break from the Star Wars universe.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Really taking that's a break. That's why Disney bought it, to take a break from it.
Yeah.
Disney's all about breaks.
Okay, it starts off with Rey in the desert.
We've passed on all we know. 1,000 generations live in you now.
Got a TIE fighter coming in hot.
But this is your fight.
Every generation has a legend.
Too bad this one doesn't.
Is that a Tatooine, you think? Tatooine, maybe?
Yeah. Or they're at the big thermometer outside of Barstow.
Yeah. Superhero pose. Cool backflip over the TIE.
I'm in.
Yeah.
She beats a TIE fighter with a
lightsaber.
I'm in.
It's Kylo Ren. He's back.
Evil. It's crazy. Mass,
yeah. No. Lando Calrissian is back.
Lando!
Looks like a couple characters were back on Luke's Island, which is interesting. C-3PO and some...
Leia?
Some extra footage, yeah. They're using for Carrie Fisher.
No one's ever really gone.
Oh, Palpatine's back.
Joker laugh.
I'm in.
Oh, we're all in.
Come on.
Yeah. This is the end of an era.
I'm only going for Billy Dee Williams. Because I haven't seen him in anything in 30 years.
That's...
Good for him. Yeah. Good for him for staying alive.
Yeah. He had some health issues, so I'm glad he...
Mm-hmm.
I'm in. I'm pumped for this. I'm glad it's Christmas. You know, maybe we go to New Zealand. What was it? Where did we go last? Australia. Wow, I'm tired.
Well, we gotta talk to Steele.
Same area. You're close. Wow.
Which trailer is this?
This is the one with Johnny Depp, the professor. That's the one.
This one right
here.
Yeah.
This. Oh, you're gonna love this one.
Oh, Johnny Depp. Is he back to doing comedy?
Inadvertently, yes. Now, if we had a bell, we could ring it every time you see a cliche in this trailer.
It doesn't look good, Richard.
First of all, Saban Films, yeah.
How long were we talking? Probably 6 months.
Terminal cancer.
My name is
That's
Richard.
How we start.
I'm your professor. From here on out, we're going to do things very, very differently. Oh, have any of you seen...
Nobody hit the bell for going into a pond in your clothes?
Bye. I have cancer. And it doesn't look good.
Best and how about the scene from Goodwill Hunting that he just did?
Ding.
There's no need to be facetious.
Joke about dying. Ding.
I'm not finished.
Take a seat.
Now he's an asshole because he's dying and drinking. Ding.
He's trying to be.
Oh, a bad administrator that he's got a fight with?
Ding.
Wasps. We can get prescriptions for anything we want, darling.
What's going on?
Seem like you're drunk or on drugs.
Admittedly, we are on a bit of both.
The kids are embarrassed by him.
Mom and dad have gone nuts.
This university
are cheating on your wife, Henry, with the wife of a devoted faculty member, specifically mine.
What?
Oh, wow.
There's an affair. Ding.
Big reveal.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you?
Driving with a dog. Ding.
What happened to us, Richie?
What happened to us?
Clapping at a wedding. Nice. Ding.
Damn it, Richard. Dropping a glass.
Somebody getting mad.
Is there going to be a scene where he's got like his arms open in the rain?
Yeah.
Shut up, Richard.
I hope
a soundtrack that pretends it's indie. Ding.
We should have.
Is some young student going to teach him the error of his ways?
Oh.
To love life again?
Grab it, snatch it up, make it yours. Don't let a moment slip by.
Don't let a moment slip by.
Don't let a moment slip. Ding.
Don't let a cliche slip by.
Yeah. Funny ethnic joke. Ding. Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, I should have just paid Amber Heard.
Yeah, Richard.
Okay.
That's a hell of a greeting.
Wow.
Wow.
So who
written and directed by Wayne Roberts. Anybody know? Give me a Wayne Roberts APB. What has he
who's
done?
Who's...
If it's the Wayne Roberts who from MASH... Then,
that's Rogers. That's Wayne Rogers.
Same thing. Whatever.
So
six and one.
Same thing.
New Zealand, Australia, Mike. Get off my back.
So it just makes you wonder immediately who was best friends with Johnny Depp that put this together, that or had pictures of him in compromising situations.
When you really look back, I mean, I have nothing against Johnny Depp. I was like, but when you look back on the list of the movies he's done, there's a lot of turds in there, and yeah. I don't know how great his radar is. Of choosing a script. I really don't.
Well, it could use an adjustment. So now, on DVD and Blu-ray, we have Glass. Now, you actually saw this. You thought it was
I
okay.
loved it. I mean, mm-hmm. honestly, the trilogy that M. Night did, I mm-hmm. mean, it was...
The surprise trilogy.
It was really cool. It was really interesting. And I mean, I was like, all right.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it.
And all right. Got a lot of mixed love.
Yeah,
but you thought
I think
okay.
some people just got mad at M. Night and just never were
didn't
like,
give it a chance.
Never going to give this guy a yeah. chance ever again. And
right.
I don't agree.
Well, you know, Bruce Willis makes everything better. You know, the kid who would be king. This is the Patrick Stewart kid, King Arthur story without Hellboy. And this one
is Rasputin in it.
Yeah, yeah, okay. He might be. So that's, you know, a kid's. Live-action movie from England, if you want to check that out. But again, when I watched this trailer, it was one of those things like, well, this is like a throwback to, like, you know, kids' movies in, like, the 90s that this is, all right, okay. I don't know if any kids are going to see it now. They're staring at their devices and watching Pixar movies and Marvel movies. But
spoken like a true
yeah.
father.
Yeah, exactly.
Get off your devices.
These kids today, and they're on their devices.
Yeah, let me just say, neither one of my kids was bugging me to see that movie. Replicas. This was the Keanu Reeves movie about like him making replicas after his family was killed, just making robots to replace them.
Yes!
That looked like a huge mistake.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Like, that looked absolutely a huge, awful.
I did see that trailer. That was
That's one of those things that's so bad. When someone pitches that in a meeting, you ask them to leave.
Yeah, yeah. It's
yeah,
like,
right. It's like, it never, no one, and nowhere down the, anywhere down the line, just someone going, oh yeah.
Yeah, but Keanu Reeves is in it. Don't care.
Don't, get
you
out.
You need to leave.
Get out.
And I think that was one of those.
I'll deal with him later.
We're yeah. not validating your parking.
Yeah.
And they dumped it like post-holidays, I think, yeah. in the movie theater. And yeah. like a week,
yeah,
it was in the dead zone.
It was in the dead zone for sure. So now we talk about the site spotlight. We want to say the Dana Gould merch is going away. It will only be there until Thursday, and then that is it. A lot of that stuff is limited edition. Everything from the T-shirts, especially the Opera Man T-shirts and the LPs and the CDs. That's it. It's limited, and it will be going away Thursday. So if you want any Dana Gould merch, check it out. And also check out our message boards. That is, they are up, back, and running. They're still a little sparse, but we want you guys to come back and talk about movies in the show and everything else. We want to get them up and running again. So we have a moderator, Charlene. She's doing an amazing job, and so check them out. Be part of the discussion. and premiering this week, The Curse of La Llorona.
La Llorona.
And this is another amazing trailer of like, she's coming for your children.
Oh, yeah. It's a good creepy kid scare him up movie. It's an actual like ghost story that they tell.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a Latino, like she's going to come get you.
Right.
It's a thing
right.
you tell kids to settle down.
Mm-hmm. It's the, so it's a kind of like a Latino Candyman kind of thing.
Yes, it is.
Or a chupacabra.
Something like that.
Bloody Mary.
Ooh. Gotcha. And the next one is Penguins. This is the Disney nature film. This trailer is hilarious. You have to watch this one. It's one of those movies like Disney Nature. What they do is they take a nature documentary and they basically have a narration like it's a cartoon or a like an actual narrative movie. So, you know, you're following like a penguin as he's getting married. It's like,
yeah,
like
I saw the Bears
married.
One.
Yeah.
It's John C. Like Reilly that. Narrated.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm watching this. I'm like, are they doing this tongue in cheek? Are they actually serious and trying to get kids in the thing? I'm not sure. Like, it runs that weird line of like, do they know or are they?
They're educating kids to go out in the wild and get murdered.
Yeah. Because it's weird. It's like, is this going to even teach me anything about penguins?
No. They're going to think they can talk and they have human emotions.
Yeah. This is. I'm not sure how helpful this is. So that is our show.
That's our show. Ladies and gentlemen, 463. Mike, where can people find you online and listen to your podcast?
They can go to TravelTalesPodcast.com. It's on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher Radio and all the other platforms. I think we're on Spotify now. And so they can find us there. And Travel Tales Pod on Twitter. Funny Mike on Twitter if they want to follow the comedy thing. And funnymike.com is for to find me there.
Awesome, guys.
The reels and everything.
Political Vigilante Live this Thursday, April 18th at the Sycamore Tavern. $10 tickets, free parking. Everything is at Graham Elwood. All my tour dates are at grahamelwood.com.
And the new episode of Conversations from the Abyss just dropped. It has Bill Dwyer and Carrie Barrett about a middle manager who never has enough time until a sales rep offers to sell him more.
Ooh.
So, and also want to let you guys know I'll be on the Sklar Brothers Dumb People Town. That should be out in another week or two. I did an episode. It's hilarious. The stories that they do is amazing. And we'll have Dan Van Kirk back on the show.
Oh, love
it. We haven't had him on.
We haven't had Dan forever.
Yeah. So, all right. That's the show.
That's our show. Mike Siegel, thank you so much for seeing Hellboy. You took one for the team.
Yeah,
God bless you, sir.
You owe me. You owe me. It'll be 2 hours of my life for that one.
Thank you to Aaron Brungard and everybody at the All Things Comedy World Headquarters. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first. La Llorona.